Over the summer, we've been going through this series called The High Octane Life. I don't know if that's what your perception of the Christian faith is, the Christian life, but in the Bible, that's really what we learn about the Christian life. And Charles will be coming to speak to us in a few moments from Colossians 3. Charles is an accountant at Deutsche Bank, but I guess nobody's perfect, right? Thank you already for the time, the effort you've put into this. We're really looking forward to hearing from you. A couple of notices to draw your attention to. So firstly, after the talk, about half past, there the opportunity to stick around and have some lunch together. There are some sandwiches we can share. And secondly, Summerlink is advertised on the notice sheet. You may find this useful. It runs on Wednesday evenings from about 6:30 at 7, I think. 6:30 is food is served, and at 7 there's a kind of discussion, a talk. And over the summer, we're looking at the topic of the Reformation, 500 years since the Reformation, and what are the main lessons we can learn. So in a minute, Ian is going to come and read the passage for today, which is on page 1185 in Colossians 3. But before that, why don't I pray for our time together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here freely now to hear your word read and explained. Thank you, Lord, that your word is power from you to transform us, to change our lives. Pray, Lord, that we would listen and that we would obey your word and that we would love Jesus more. Amen.
Amen.
Ian.
So the reading then this lunchtime from Colossians chapter 3, which is on page 1185 in the Church Bibles. Colossians chapter 3. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you, Ian. Good afternoon. Let me add my welcome to you as well, especially if you're here with us for the first time. Can I encourage you to keep coming and keep listening? As Will mentioned, we're in the middle of a series called The High Octane Life, and we are focusing on a letter written to Christians in the city of Colossae. What is the high octane life, in your opinion? For different people, it will mean different things. I wonder if it may surprise you, but in this letter, we are being shown that the high-octane life, quite simply put, is a life that is connected to Jesus. It may look ordinary to the earthly eye, But as we realize more and more who Jesus is, the privilege of being connected to him, we see how glorious this life actually is. So far in our series, we have been shown that if you know Jesus, you can have eternal life. If you have Jesus, you are not in danger of missing out on anything else. We've been shown that if you want to be mature, you hold on to Jesus' words. And last week, Andrew was showing us that stay away from the alternatives. They lead you astray. Hold on to Jesus only. So today, I think we will look at what it looks like in practice a bit more. And as we consider that, if my ambition or my aim in life is to remain closely connected to Jesus, then it should shape the way I live today. In the passage that Ian kindly read for us, if you look at verse 5, Paul says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." And in verse 12, he says, "Put on then." If you notice, the language "therefore" and "then" comes from the position that he has described of us in verses 1 to 4. You see, the life we aspire to will always shape the way we live. And so I wonder, what is the life we aspire to here in this city of London or in the United Kingdom? Is it the life lived by the royal family? I remember last month I saw a photo in the Metro, the Evening Standard, of a trip Prince William and his wife took to Europe. And they traveled with their two children, Prince George and Princess Charlotte. Funny enough, the thing that stood out for me was Princess George's dress code. He was wearing a smart shirt, long-sleeved, normally checkered, I think. It's the same kind of picture you see going through the newspapers, with shorts, long socks, and formal shoes. And I thought to myself, I wonder, is this what four-year-olds aspire to dress like? Sorry, I just couldn't get over it, because he looked like he was wearing school uniform, and I thought to myself, is this what four-year-olds actually aspire to? Anyway, none of us are four-year-olds. So let's just focus on their parents. The picture was of them about to board a private jet on their way to Europe to represent the country. Most likely they'll be met there by important dignitaries. They'll have dinners. Kate will probably change her dress about 3 or 4 times a day. William will be speaking. I saw a picture of them at a brewery being attended to by many staff, feeling important. Is this the life we aspire to? Maybe we don't like the royals. Maybe we prefer the glamour and the glitz of lives lived by people like David Beckham. Maybe we prefer a life like Neymar Jr., earning about £90,000 a day. Is that the life we aspire to? But closer to home for us city workers, maybe it's just the next promotion, demonstrating the skills that are required for me to progress to the next stage. When I get there, maybe that's when I'll have the high-octane life. Or the ultimate aim may be being a CEO of an institution in London, making significant decisions that affect our economy, making significant decisions that affect the global economy. The perks that come along with such a job, being chauffeur-driven, traveling, being looked after really well. Some of us here might be CEOs. They can explain a bit more afterwards. If these things are the things we aspire to, they will shape the way we live. It may surprise you, but through this letter we're being shown that the Christian has much higher ambitions than these. God has made the Christian for so much more. Look with me at verse 1 to 4. Paul writes, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." So the Bible regularly talks about two ages, a present age now and an age to come. It also talks about two places when describing the Christian, this earth that we live in now, and heaven, which is to come. And what we see from these four verses is that, and throughout Colossians, is that Jesus has reconciled us to God and is bringing us from earth with him to heaven. And so today, even though we still live on earth as Christians, we belong to the age to come. Although we live in the present age, we belong to heaven. Although we live on earth, we are heading to heaven. It looks ordinary, but nothing in this world can compare to that future promise. So since Christ has qualified us for heaven, since heaven is my destination, since I am raised with Christ, so what? I am to set my ambitions there. We are to set our ambitions there and not here. We'll be looking at 2 points today, and you can follow them on the back of your notice sheet. And the first one is this: because I am a Christian, because I am in Christ, I ought to continually set my heart and mind on things above. Look at verse 1 to 4. Do I really grasp what has happened to me as a Christian? Do I really get what my identity is? You have been raised with Christ. Christ who is seated at the right hand of God. There can't be a higher place. Your life is hidden in Christ. Christ is your life. And one day, you will appear with him in glory. It doesn't get better than that, especially when you consider who Jesus is. I probably look like an ordinary city worker standing here before you. But because of what Christ has done for me, the spiritual reality is much different. Most of us here today will feel like ordinary people working in the city. Life will look ordinary. But if you are a Christian, there is a heavenly reality that defines who you are that is beyond anything you can imagine. You are connected to Jesus Christ in an intimate way. You have been raised with Christ, and Christ is your life. Everything about our lives as Christians centers around being in Jesus. And Paul wants us to focus our hearts and minds there so that our present reality will be shaped by that ambition. It will be shaped by that destination. It will be shaped by the life that we have in Jesus. If we are going to heaven, if we are in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God, no other ambition is fitting except one that is set on him above in heaven. Nothing on earth is a fitting ambition for the one who is in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, set your hearts there. The danger is if we're not setting our hearts there, we'll set our hearts on ambitions that are earthly. Compare that with Christ Jesus. They are incomparable. You see, the heart of the Christian life today is living out what reflects our heavenly reality. That's what makes the Christian life set on Jesus, the high-octane life. Think about it in the city. If you want to be promoted, at least that's how it works in my firm, if you want to be promoted to the next level, you begin to kind of demonstrate the skills now for what will happen in the future. It's sort of similar here, but not exactly. As a Christian, I am heading to heaven. My destination is in heaven. I am in Christ, so today my conduct, my life, should reflect that future reality. The difference it is to our promotion approach is that I'm not trying to earn it. With the promotion approach, I have to do those things so that I qualify for that position. But Paul has been laboring throughout Colossians that in Christ Jesus, he has qualified us for heaven. I'm not seeking heaven. I'm not setting my heart there so as to attain it. I'm not seeking to obtain favor with God through my own works. I'm setting my heart on Christ in heaven because of what he has done to take me there. And so with my heart on Christ, I am constantly thankful. Living the Christian life is not dull, drudgery, hard work, painful, thankless. It is one of thankfulness for the privilege of being connected to Jesus. Notice how Paul weaves that into the commands that he gives them in the next few verses. Look with me at verse 15, right at the end. And he says, and be thankful. Verse 16, sing spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks for what, you think? Giving thanks for the privilege of glory. There is nothing more exciting than that. And so as I live out my life today, putting to death sexual immorality, greed, anger, putting on kindness, humility, compassion, it comes with a thankful heart. It flows from Christ who is above. It flows from whom he has made me to be, for the future he has prepared me to be, to have. And it comes with a thankful heart for the privilege of that future glory that I will share. And the danger for me in the city is that I often disconnect my Christian living with that future destiny. And when I do that, I am tempted to look elsewhere for earthly ambitions. I'm tempted to look for other things that will satisfy. But Paul says, set your hearts there because that's your destination. Imagine being invited to your CEO's office to work with him for 1 week on a strategic project for your organization. The privilege. What would you do? How would it shape your life? You would prepare for that. You would dress smartly. I know that sounds cheesy, but we do that. If you're invited to the CEO's office, you will dress smartly. If you don't have a tie, you'll probably borrow one from your colleague. And if you're like me, you'll probably pick your best suit that day or ask your wife to ensure that it's dry cleaned and ready for the privilege of meeting your CEO. But Paul is saying that you are in Christ. You are connected to Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 1 that James shared with us a few weeks ago on page 1183. This is the description we're given of Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. I'm reading from verse 15 on page 1183. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. It is this Jesus who is in charge of the whole cosmos that Paul is saying you are connected to. It is this Jesus who defines your life today as a Christian, who defines my life today as a Christian. I am connected to him. In fact, he is my life. If I am connected to him and setting my heart on him daily, with this in mind, how on earth am I supposed to live? So our second point is, because my ambitions are heavenly, I ought to put to death what is earthly, and I ought to put on what is heavenly. Look at verse 5. Paul says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Notice the language. Put to death what is earthly in you. Again, it's rooted in your identity. Because you are heavenly, there are still certain things about you that are earthly because you live on earth. Put those to death. Notice the language, the significance of the command. Put to death. It's because you have such a great position in Jesus. So my earthly nature ought to be slain, outright executed. Violence. No polite pleading or negotiation because of the privilege. You prepare for something with equal significance depending on the result at the end. My earthly nature ought to be slain. Put to death sexual immorality. The Bible defines this as any form of sexual stimulation outside marriage between a man and a woman. For me, that means anything outside Wendy, who is my wife. That means because I am in Christ, I remain faithful to that union. That means because I am in Christ, I am diligent about my thought life or about the things that I look at. We live in a culture that celebrates sexual freedom and considers this biblical view archaic or even outright restrictive and discriminatory. So holding these views can make me feel isolated sometimes, make me feel like maybe I'm a little bit ancient. But Paul is saying, look at Jesus in heaven. That is who defines your reality. and therefore put it to death. Our media, our advertisements are full of it, subtle messages that challenge the heavenly view. And so I have to constantly reassert in my mind where my aim is, heaven, and how my conduct should be, heavenly, and that means sexual purity. A few years ago, after an evening of drinks with some lads in the office, some of them were heading off to a strip club and they invited me along. I turned down the offer. Why? Because I know it would offend Christ. And Christ is my life. And Christ has brought me to glory. But on the way home, I started thinking maybe they might see me as this super spiritual, judgmental Christian who can't have a little bit of fun on the side. But actually, the right thinking is I am heavenly. I am set for heaven. I am in Christ. Christ defines my life. And if this kind of thing causes God to be angry, why would I want to indulge in it? Did you ever consider that resisting sexual temptation is a heavenly way to live? It's more than just a battle to restrain the flesh. How refreshing it is to remember this. Some might think it's archaic, first century moral code that we have superseded in 21st century Britain. No, this is heavenly living flowing from a life that is found in Jesus Christ. It is out of this world living. How revolutionary. This is what high octane living looks like with my heart set on Jesus. We work in a city where many are driven by the desire for more money, more pay. And it's difficult to remain content. Paul says, put to death greed or covetousness. As I seek to do this, I am tempted to think maybe I'm missing out on a better paycheck if I'm not constantly nagging my boss for more. Maybe I'm missing out on that extra bonus that would get me the nice car. But as I set my heart on Jesus, those ambitions are merely earthly. And then I'm empowered to put them to death. I know that there's a fine line between what is fair compensation and what is greed. But because my heart is set on Jesus, then I am equipped to put to death greed. I'm equipped to do so because I have a much better privilege ahead of me. I'm living for that. Put to death anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouths. These things are rife within our lives, and it can be tough to make these decisions. Just last Sunday, my wife and I were out for dinner with friends, and two of the ladies there were talking about how their children were being bullied at school. The first one said, I told my daughter, if they bully you, bully them back. The next one said, I told my daughter, if they push you, push them back even harder. You must be wondering what kind of people we hang out with. But these are parents who care about their children. And so when we got home, Wendy and I were talking about it and saying, how would we behave if our child was being bullied? Would we encourage them to fight back? And it's difficult because as a parent, you are protective. But then we started thinking, well, what kind of values do we want to instill in our children? Heavenly values or earthly values? Where do we want our children to be heading for? Heaven? Therefore, that must shape the way we live today. And in order to do that with joy and thankfulness without fear of missing out, I must set my heart and my ambitions on Christ Jesus, who is in heaven, and the glory that will come when he appears. That's what keeps us going, putting to death what is earthly. We could talk more about this, but I've left a question for you to discuss maybe afterwards about what it might look like for you in practice. The next thing is that, wonderfully, aiming for heaven doesn't only mean putting to death what is earthly. Aiming for Christ means putting on what is heavenly. Look at verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The focus here is clearly corporate, isn't it? I can't express kindness, compassion, except in the context of relating with other people. That means as I live in the city, I must make it a priority to spend time with other Christians. For me, it means coming here maybe on a Tuesday or on a Thursday. Or it means meeting with other Christians in the office to encourage them and strengthen them and be strengthened by them. I need to remain proactive because in the city I have a busy schedule, and very easily meeting with other Christians can fall down the list of my priorities. In my 11 years in the city, I have benefited immensely from relationships with other Christians, kindness, patience, forgiveness. I've had lots of friendships with Christian guys in the city, but two guys stand out. They're here today, so I won't mention their names lest I embarrass them. But I have been encouraged by them to keep my ambitions heavenly. They have been patient with me in my failings. They have been kind to encourage me when I'm feeling flaky. This is what living out the high octane life looks like with your heart and mind set on Jesus. Another question for you to think about is, what would it look like for you to express this kind of sentiment towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, your fellow believers, fellow citizens of heaven, people who are on the train to heaven, the same destination that you're heading to? How does setting your heart and mind there drive the way you live with them today? As we come to a close, Paul ends the section with a command, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," in verse 16. "As I aim for heaven, on what basis shall I set my mind and my heart on things above? Shall I dream up my own ideas? No, I will do so on the basis of what God's word says about Christ, who is my life." And so listening to Christ's words in the Bible remains a priority. And like Will said, the center of our time here is listening to the words of Christ so that they shape our heart's ambitions. Human wisdom, human religion is rife and it's popular. And we hear it all the time. In order to keep my ambitions heavenly, I need to listen to the words of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Notice the language, teaching and admonishing one another. And that means that it doesn't happen in the context only of somebody standing up publicly to speaking. It means that you need to have a relational conversation with someone so that you can challenge them and encourage them in Christ with his wisdom, with his words. So for me, that looks like coming to a Bible study every Wednesday so that together with other Christian guys, we are constantly allowing Christ's words to shape us. And I'd encourage you, living in the city is busy and it can draw your full attention. There's so much to do. But if heaven is our destination, we better be setting our hearts and minds on things above, letting the word of Christ shape us, shape our ambitions, shape our thought life. And that will drive to high octane living. So Christian living, for me, is not just random religious practices or observances, things to give up and good things to do. But it is Christ-driven. It is Christ-centered because Christ is my life. And one day he will appear again. And then my true life will be seen in him. And so I do my best with that in mind to put to death what is earthly and put on what is heavenly. The wonderful promise we're given in verse 10 is that we will be renewed into the image of our Creator. We will grow into the image of Christ, who created it all, as we live this life. Sometimes living for heaven can feel like an uphill battle. Or sometimes, if your life is anything like mine, it can feel like you are going backwards. But Paul says, set your heart and mind there, in Christ Jesus. My heavenly destination is not based on my performance. It is based on Christ who has qualified me to glory. And so with that in mind, I remain thankful for the privilege of doing so, and I keep striving to put to death what is earthly. Let's pray. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege of being united with Christ. Thank you that we are raised with him. And thank you for the promise of glory that awaits all of us who are in Christ Jesus. Please help us keep setting our hearts and minds on heaven above, on Christ our King, who is our life. Help us to grasp more and more this wonderful truth that we are united with him, so that we would be encouraged to keep living for him, with him in mind, with him at the center of our lives, And we ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're welcome to stick around for refreshments. And if you have any